Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John the Baptist directs our attention and our focus on Jesus Christ and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the whole world." We are in the days of awe. As we entered last weekend into Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, begins the season called the Days of Awe. And it's all basically about Jesus. Different ways. I just want you to know that when you step into heaven, you will be in a zone of reality that will be, utter glory. But I want you to welcome the glory even now. Because when the woman with the issue of blood, who basically was stricken with feminine cancer, she was dying. But when she touched Jesus, the hem of his garment, it says she was made whole completely. And tonight, as we are celebrating, we're coming into the most holy of holy days called the Yom Kippur, which will be on Monday, basically at sunset. But we are coming into it. These are the days of all. These are the days we are coming into the holiest of days. So as we are worshiping, and this was, I feel like the glory is with us as we are worshiping. And I want you to become one. And it's wonderful to see the people, all of you, led by the worship team. By the way, will you give them a big applause? And we're going to have you jump in at any moment. So, because we want to step into this river of honoring the most awesome deeds. I was getting a PhD. One of the things I was doing in graduate school was going towards a PhD in English. And loved the tales of the knights. And then I loved to read about soldiers and their brave deeds. And there is no greater hero, I want to tell you, than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because he stood on your behalf. Know that. And receive that personally. Never let that get apart where you are an observer. I would get frustrated years ago when I started being associated with the church, and then I went to Bible school, but it was a very, very good university. But it specialized also quite a bit in those who trained to be pastors. But at that time, the last thing I wanted to be was a pastor. I thought, I met too many who never had an experience with the Holy Spirit who are going to become professional ministers. And when you shook hands with them, it was like you're shaking hands with a dead fish. I just couldn't, said, no. It wasn't real to me. But then the glory visited me and totally defined me, redefined me. It was amazing and became real. And this is real. And it's real because of the greatest and grandest hero of all heroes, Jesus Christ. He is the greatest knight. I love to read about the knights who did brave deeds and soldiers who have done brave deeds. But the bravest and the greatest is Jesus, because he faced every demon power that you could ever think of and got the victory. Amazing, amazing. And so this season is Yom Kippur. And you can remember, but Pastor, just about a year ago, we celebrated this. I said, yes, and we need to. And you can't celebrate enough for the salvation of your children. You would celebrate the whole year, wouldn't you, to see your children in heaven. And we will have eternity worshiping the King of Glory. And this is, we are getting a little sample. And it so much brings so much joy. And we are All Nations Church is especially people who want an experience with the real Holy Spirit and get a touch from the glory and get healing and miracles and know the Holy Spirit is real and there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I don't want any, my hope, my prayer is that not one person who visits us goes away the same, that you will all. The invitation is here, but we are wide open anytime, any day to pray for anyone to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you can miss many other appointments, but never miss your appointment with Jesus, because it transforms your eternity, not just your days here, but eternity. And it's awesome. God has allowed me to take a few times, a peek into glory. And mainly it's about Him, but when you meet Him and a few experiences where I had by accident, I was part of an apostrophe or a footnote to a lady's prayer life many years ago. I remember God told me to go to a conference in Fort Worth. I had a profound baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was just immediately thrown into anointed Holy Ghost ministry, and things started happening. I would just talk about Jesus, and the people would start falling down. And at first, I didn't know what to do. I remember a lady coming up to me. I just shared it, that asked me to come share a testimony. And I would speak. And first, the lady said, oh, that's so good. Thank you. And I kissed her on the forehead, saying thank you. She was about in her 70s, late 70s, and I kissed her on the head, and she fell over, totally unconscious, and I said, I've killed her. My kiss is so powerful. And then I said, so carnal and soulish, I said, I have not even met my wife yet. If my wife falls over every time I kiss her, we're going to have a hard time. Things started happening. But I want the mystery of the supernatural, Jesus, to be real in each of our lives and have a totally dumb, someone who could not speak, 14-year-old autistic girl that had an experience, and she was with the doctor and the nurses, and I just held her hand because had been assigned to me as I was one of her trainers. And I said, can you say Jesus? I just wanted her to speak because she had been attacked. And she looked at me, and she had been turned black and blue, completely beaten up. I held her hand, said, can you judge Jesus? And her face transformed in that minute and a half, in front of the doctor and the nurses. And then she looked at me and said, Jesus. And I said, she has never spoken. So she was not only healed physically, but the glory came and let her start speaking. And some of these glory encounters, and been quickened that as this new year begins, that there's going to be a release of a fresh chapter of glory miracles, beginning with you and your children. But while we are talking, do not think you are sitting in a ritual. Something supernatural is happening with you, even as you worship tonight. As you glorify Jesus, the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist's words are ringing out, behold, the Lamb of God. And I want to ask you, are you beholding the Lamb? Are you really? Now remember, I began telling you about getting instructions. I was in graduate school in Lubbock, Texas, and God said, go to this place. It was in Fort Worth. And I found supernatural. I found a ride. I didn't have a car. Didn't have much money to. Didn't. Anyway. And didn't have any place to stay. I didn't know. Didn't have any money. Went by faith. And these people I met in the conference, they said, where are you staying? I said, I have no place to stay. And it was already evening. They said, well, you can come and stay with us. We are staying at a friend's house. So we don't know whether they can have another person. So I'll tag along. And they came to this couple's home. They said, we have a friend with us. Can he sleep on the couch? And the woman shook her head, said, no. He cannot sleep on the couch. He will sleep in our bedroom. I said, no, I don't. Found out later. I got up the next day and she cooked one of the world's greatest breakfasts for me. And all the tables were filled. And the men had already been gone. So it's, she had every form of egg omelets, smothered eggs, boiled eggs, and she had every kind of pastry, all kinds of fruit, and bacon, and all of that. She said, this is for you. I said, oh, Lord, this is weird. And this went on the next 3 days and the fourth day. Breakfast like this every day when I woke up. For me only. And I thought, I can barely eat, an omelet. I said, what is happening? And on the fourth night, it was at the time when the Vietnam War was taking place, and B-52 bombers would get off right next to me. It was Andrews Air Force Base was right there. Not Air Force, Andrews, it was another Air Force, famous, I'll remember. But it was right next door, and so B-52s would take off around 2:30 and 4. You never knew it. it would shake the whole neighborhood. My room started shaking, and it suddenly the glory came, and Jesus walked into my room. And the sound that I had been waking up to every night, the roar of the beat, turned into a symphony. Jesus was there. And the golden smoke of glory was all around. And the Catholic saints used to call it ecstasia. They would have a lot of the great, I loved reading about some of those saints, that they would have an experience with God. Sometimes the glory will lift you up to such a level. But you read about some of the stories, and some of them we would call it levitation, but they would be floating because the glory is so thick and does some things to you. But I wanted to just, the light came and started defining me. I was one with the light, and the light came from Jesus, and it's living light. It's not static. It does something. So even as we are worshiping, the glory is doing something. So I would just recommend certain things that you get to be around it. I feel on one hand, I don't want to get in any way condemning, but we should, when you get a chance to be around the glory, around the worship like this, I wouldn't be anywhere else, but right be in the middle of it. Because we have seen, but anyway, I'll finish the story, that you are in another zone. It doesn't matter whether the B-52 bombers are taking off next door, and he defines nature where it did not matter. There was no sound. As far as I heard, the glory was there, and there was a symphony. Anything that is not aligned with the glory will have to bow to the glory, because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess he is Lord. But I get tickled by this, that I was, I woke up, the next day when I went to breakfast, I couldn't go back to bed. I'll take more time some of the time to tell you the whole experience of the being with the Lord and revelation after revelation. All for hours I was in his presence, and he was showing me mathematical equations and all of that, and he, in every way, everywhere we go or in any kind of endeavor, the Lord said, if they're truly seeking me, they'll find me in any kind of pursuit. I'll be there. That he'll manifest. If you're a garage mechanic, it does not matter. You will find Jesus. And I believe we are coming into more and more of that. But anyway, so I went to breakfast when I thought it was time. And the big breakfast was there. And I couldn't eat. When you're around the glory, there was like my appetite was gone. I can understand why Moses for 40 days did not need to eat, because he was in the supernatural glory of the Lord. But I said, I'm not able, I can't eat. And I told the lady, but the Lord visited me last night. And she said, I know. And I'm a stranger. I just met her that week. And I said, he told me that your husband has asked for a divorce. And then she started weeping. And said, yeah, he told me. We have been married 14 years. And he said he has met another woman. And he's going to leave me next week. And she wept. And she said, when he told me last week, she said, I cried like I've never cried before. And then I heard, and I said, Lord, I always worshiped you. What is this? I'm so broken. And She said, the first time in her life I heard the audible voice of God. And she said, she heard the Lord say to her, in a few days, I'm sending my prophet to your house, and he will have a word of healing for your marriage. I have this in a sense, basically. I forget the complete sentence at this time. And the Lord just had me get together with her husband and her, and it was just the demonic oppression that came on him, the spirit of witchcraft, that he was captivated by this other woman. And when I prayed for him, that demon left, and that marriage was healed. And I was able to, 12 years later, I remember I went to that area of Dallas-Fort Worth, and they were still tight and happy, married, but I was someone's house. Supernaturally, the Lord visited me so that he could give me a word, all of that, just so that he heard that woman's cry. So I was more a footnote. So by the way, I'm sending someone to heal your and deliver your husband. Praise God. Anyway, the aspect that I, as we were talking tonight about, and I was meditating on Yom Kippur, and that the Lord of hosts, we prayed about that Yom Kippur. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the early part of 72. And but in 1973, the Yom Kippur, just at around this time, Israel was suddenly attacked on the Day of Atonement. So the Day of Atonement is in, I think it's on, look it up for me, someone. It's Monday, huh? Wednesday, okay. We won't be gathering, so I wanted to address this and take full advantage. There was, as we went to Rosh Hashanah, this the new year of Hebrew, and now we're coming into our holidays, there are certain, music notes. Some of you musicians, that's different. There are glory notes, and God is sharing some things with us, and part of it is there are shades and higher levels of vibration, of intensity, of the presence of the glory as we enter this new year and with the Day of Atonement. So, and with it comes tremendous angelic activity. So at the Yom Kippur War, suddenly, now Yom, it's a Day of Atonement, and let me read to you from Leviticus 23. And it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. So this is on the Hebrew calendar, but it's in the Bible. There's a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls. And eventually, the way in the Jewish tradition, what it meant was fasting, a day of humbling and fasting, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So some of these holy, take note that one of the first things for the Lord is that when you come and worship the Lord, it says, with an offering. And I've been around certain religious people that they get, some get so holy or so religious they get nervous about talking about offering. But this is the whole thing. It's in the Word of God. And it does quicken some notes in your life that if you are becoming inward, you are becoming fearful, and the Lord wants to deliver you. And know that I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord says. I am your provider. You are not your provider. So don't, the more where the Lord is concerned around, be generous. Give up. I've been around some of the most generous people all my life, and it's so wonderful to see them in the joy of the Lord. The more they are in giving, and it does not necessarily mean you are worth $100 million or $200 million. And you drive, you know, 30 Cadillacs and all of that. It means abundance. Jesus, that's one of the things that he did on the Day of Atonement was he, in our own, the basically on this day, you know, the Day of Atonement, it was a special day where the high priest gave special, made sacrifice, special sacrifices. And it was the holiest of days. And God basically covered the sins of his people so that the main problem that humanity has, you have, I have, is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But this is the solution. And there is no other solution, no amount of religious ceremonies, activities, whatever. It's good to give, but giving is not what saves you. It's the blood of Jesus. But during this time, here in the days of the tabernacle and then the temple, they would give rams and they would give lambs as made atonement. They would sacrifice animals. But it's the way atoning is done nothing but by the shedding of the blood. So where I see the blood, I will pass over. So that's still current, but it's the blood of Jesus. That's the supreme covering. So it says this is a holy convocation. The reason is that we do it we celebrated last year. Is that not enough? You accept the sacrifice of Jesus. That was one time it happened. Jesus does not have to go to the cross every other year or something. But it is there in the Bible, and you can see the wisdom of God, that you always want to stay sharp. We human beings, we get blunted and we get dull. And in that, then in the worship, in us dancing and all that, it keeps us vibrant. For me, I often kind of lament people who get dry after a while. God, that's why we want to be in revival, right? Well, don't you want to be in revival? You want to see, not say, well, I saw a miracle 23 years ago and that's it. No, sir. How many of you want to see miracles every day? And more, right? Say more, Lord. So around this kind of word, and we talk about it more, and we rehearse. And when someone says to me, listen, so-and-so had a healing, Pastor, and the doctor says it's in total remission, and there is no more cancer. I'll tell you, I get so joyful. And I want to see more. We had, not too long ago, a lady, she was just visiting. Either she was from Korea, I think she was from Korea. But she had kidney cancer, and she had been bleeding in her bladder situations for the last 3 years. And she came here and was just worshiping with us. And in the Word and all of that. And she noticed when she went to the bathroom, the blood that had been in her urine all these last 3 years completely disappeared. And she went to the doctor and she was totally healed, being in this atmosphere. So keep, as we talk about the atoning work of Jesus, then this is, we're coming to the day, this in a few days, we'll celebrate the Day of Atonement. Then it'll be, after that, it'll be the Feast of Tabernacles. So all of these are very notable things, and it keeps us vibrant. I love that after that, there'll be, we'll be there celebrating Christmas. And but I loved, when I saw that Sukkah, we are coming into Sukkot. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the feast. The Lord has fulfilled. He is the Passover Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. He's also poured out the Holy Spirit in the Pentecost. So those things have come to pass. But the Feast of Tabernacles is prophetic. It has come to pass in a certain way, but certain areas has not been fulfilled. But I love, we're going to dance under the Sukkah in a few days. So that we look forward to. But this is the time I'm going to read. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. By the way, before I forget, why don't we put some offering baskets here? And then at the end we get ready. How many of you come ready with your offering? I don't know whether I came ready for my offering. Do I have one? Huh? Huh? Oh, yes. Okay. This is the time of the month where Bonnie and I do a special. I think it goes in there. It comes to CMI, but then we direct it. So it's wonderful. You know, we were able to, I don't know how, for ministering to that ambulance that we participated in, I think we raised almost $35,000 for the ambulance. And just as a side thing, this year, they asked me to come and dedicate the building in Jerusalem, really, for Vision for Israel. We took a small side offering and said, since we are here, here it is, and we gave more than $5,000 just for adjunct offering. So I'm glad that we can do it. So this is our Day of Atonement offering today, and no, it'll go to bless Holocaust survivors, feed them, bless orphans who have been hit by terrorists and things like that. Then we're going to heat the Native American homes in Christmas time. So we want you all, as you give an offering, the debt-free season is declared over you because Jesus on Calvary, this atoning lamb, took your poverty that through his poverty on the cross, you may be made rich, it says. Say rich. And that God wants you to do. Anyway, hallelujah. Let's do some music. You come on up, and we'll go on with the atonement message for you. Hallelujah. Father, we bless this offering. Hold it up. This is as we honor the Day of Atonement and the atoning Lamb, Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. We say Jesus took every poverty curse from me, my family, my children, for us, that through his poverty of the cross, we may be made rich through Jehovah Jireh in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you come on up?
And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good to me, me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good to me. Yeah, yeah, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, good on good. Oh, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good. You are good, you are good to me. Yeah, yeah, I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I'll shout because you are good, you are good to me, to me, to me. Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Take a brief break, then you may have to come back. Thank you, Michael. The Lord was pouring so many things on me this last couple of days, but I mentioned to you the Day of Atonement, that's the Yom Kippur. Say Yom Kippur. Kippur, it's a Hebrew from Kippur. It's covering. It means to cover. So whatever sins we have, he covers us. The Day of Atonement. It's your sins are covered. Basically, that's our major problem of our humanity. And basically, also means to ransom and to remove with a price being paid. So you were bought with a price, the most expensive price. You are no longer enslaved. So as you have revelation of the blood of Jesus, you can tell the devil, keep your hands off me and my family. You have no right. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. So that's part of this is, even though it's, of course, a truth all through the year, there are certain truths that the feasts of Israel help us, refresh us, and we celebrate those particular truths. For example, the Passover is the time we were set free. As children of Israel were yoked and under slavery, and then the lamb is given, so they have Passover. And when the angel of death came and got the firstborn, the blood, when the Lord saw the application of the blood, that the angel of death passed over. That's therefore you are covered, and then you are set free, and every curse is broken. We can't say enough, because this is on the authority of this work, and the Word of God says this, Jesus, the Lamb of God, that's your passport through eternity. You don't have to have any fear of death ever. Let it be a revelation. And then By the way, there, I felt tonight there was a virtue of this thing already vibrating, of the atonement. The Lord is quickening this, and there are special healings. If you have a problem with sleep, going to sleep, all of that, raise your hand. Okay, and just stand up for a moment. And then someone's hearing. If you have had hearing, some measure of hearing loss, wave your hand. Okay. All righty. We're going to work out where I lay hands on you tonight. I feel like God wants to refresh your sleep and really cover you. It's a special dose of blessing. And whatever, sometimes, and I saw this, like a little freaky bat-like creature. It was trying to, you know, it was a demonic form. I see sometimes. There was a time where I said, Lord, I don't want to see it. It's too freaky. But I still get the glimpses. And I know that it's a slight oppression. You know, nothing to be afraid of. You kick it out. But together, there is, we got authority. And you're not alone. We're going to say, God's going to zap me. Amen. And so wait until I finish this word, and then we're going to have some prayer. But I wanted to focus a little bit more on the scriptures and look at I am losing my references. I don't think I read Leviticus. You can, there are another reference for tonight's, what I'm sharing is Leviticus 16. And this is the thing about Aaron, the high priest, going, offering the special clothing he wore. I mean, he had to take a bath. It was very detailed. So you could not be stinky and give an offering. So you, if you ever smell someone, says, listen, I have suspicious whether you can. You may be a king, but you're not a priest. So thus shall Aaron come into the holy place. Speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he, I mean, you have to wear this carefully. Thus shall Aaron come unto the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen cloth, linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so he put them on. Thankfully, he didn't have to have a special soap. Could be. Shall take the congregation of the children of Israel, 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. So all of this, there was a special, each time, each time of the year when we had the Day of Atonement, he had to do this. And it was because of sin, and the blood is, the high priest would take the blood of all these animals, but it was only a substitute because next year you had to come again and do the same thing. But Jesus needed to do that only one time. So I will read to you from, we are, familiar with this, but it's at this good this time that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, the table and the shewbread. This is in the temple. And it talks about the golden censer. Hebrews 9, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. But Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come as high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not this of this building, neither by the blood of goats and good calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So it goes, you can read to your leisure of Hebrews 9, but that's part of the thing that the blood, every time we take communion, this is part of the undergirding scriptures, that we are partaking of the blood of the Lamb and the flesh of the Lord. And as by faith we receive the elements, we are participating in this great sacrifice. And you are being sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And it is good, not just as a generic thing to say, yes, I believe, but you need to apprehend it and receive it, and I'm saying, and I'm applying it to me. And so I've been strengthened. I've been refreshed. The curse has been broken. And you rehearse it for me. I'm so grateful that Bonnie and I both, when we were, even as a young pastor, I was just 23, 24. I started helping Derek Prince. And he's one of the greatest word apostles of the last 100 years. And we got to be with him. I mean, sometimes we travel, we would have breakfast and lunch and supper together. We would do meetings together, come back and talk and rehearse and see what mistakes we made and come back. And but this went on for 22 years. I mean, that's awesome. And we learned so much. So that's now it's time. That's why we are beginning to do the glory sermon, so that people can spend extra time, personal time, or we can share with them the things that we learn over all many, many years, some of the great things. But among the things I learned, you learn by doing. Say, I learn by doing. So certain things that as we take communion, we do it. We don't just talk about it, but we do it. And I learned from one of the greatest apostolic teachers in the last, really, almost 200 years. And he started, whenever we would travel, here was this great teacher, and he would get in his pajamas. And after lunch, he would come and knock on my door, and he would have the elements. So, Mahesh, it's time for us to take communion. And this, it wouldn't be on, it wasn't just Sunday, it would be on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. But I learned this is, it was important for him to know. And I learned from him, hey, don't take it for granted. We're giving out, we're helping, we're praying. We need to renew ourselves. All of that to just say that I feel each of you, you are being discipled, like Bonnie and I were all these years. that right now Bonnie is in a mission, by the way, that it's important. I don't want to talk too many public details right now. If you ask me in private, I will tell you. But it's, we bless her. We pray for good health over her as she's making a ninja raid, whatever you want to call it, and for the sake of the gospel, proclaiming the glory of the Lord. In some places we'll share with you later. But we bless her and we pray, plead the blood of Jesus over her and her team. She's reaching a special nation, and we are grateful that she's right there. If I'm ever in trouble, I'll say, you better be careful. I'll sick my wife on you. I'm just kidding. But the on the cross, the Word of God tells us the problem of all humanity is sin. And therefore, the answer for everyone on earth is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and that we apologize to nobody, where we declare and proclaim Jesus' sacrifice. It's a unique and central to the Christian faith that we are anchored on the cross of Calvary, and that in Hebrews 7:27, it says, we see the sacrifice is the Lamb of God. It's Jesus. But the high priest is also Jesus. So the priest and the sacrifice are one person, and that's Jesus Christ, who offered himself by the Holy Spirit in the anointing to God the Father as a sacrifice. And the cure for everybody on earth is the atonement. So this is the Day of Atonement. It was the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. It's called the Day of Atonement. But now our Day of Atonement is Jesus himself. And so, and then you want to personally apprehend what the cross did for you, for me, in me, say in me. And so by faith, I don't want to make the cross just generic, but appropriate. The word I'm looking for, kind of missed it, is I want to appropriate it. This belongs to me. And belongs to my children. And then belongs to my church, to my neighbor, to the one in my life group. And we can pray for others. But first, appropriate yourself. So you walk on the truth. And my thing is, as we come in the Day of Atonement, that we have not only appropriated, but then we are able to minister it to others. So you, as you pray, and you get opportunities to pray, many of us, God will give you, you will see a waitress that's in great, you can discern she's in trouble. You can say, you can carry a prophetic word for them or other people. If you have appropriated, then you can transmit it. And so you can say, well, your neighbor says, golly, the doctor just came with a diagnosis that I may have breast cancer. Well, so you mind if I pray for you? And then, by the way, I'm saying we needed a revival of certain things. I was watching some old on YouTube Billy Graham meetings from way back in the 50s, and how powerful that word was for America. And that people were not only actively involved, it was so exciting for them to. And then I was around and I helped a little bit, but there were many senior people at that time. I was just young, in my early 20s. But a number of people who had actively helped Catherine Kuhlman. And I mean, they were on fire. And they never got tired. And the same with some of the workers I would talk with who worked with Oral Roberts during that season. And they were vibrating. They had appropriated and they were vibrating with the truth. By his stripes, I am healed. You don't want that to get old. And for me, it never, I mean, one of the great healings was, you know, when my mother had bone cancer. And God trained me and said, pray for your mother. All of that kind of training. When I got that news a few days later, my mother had been healed completely and she lived 26 more years. So then I knew that I knew this worked and we can do more. And then I saw some of those autistic children. Well, it still is living for me. I mean, it's vibrating. So now we're let this, we are honoring the Yom Kippur, season of Yom Kippur. By the way, one of the other things I wanted to mention was that there was talking about Yom Kippur, that kind of lost it. Oh, there it is. My I lost the details here. My iPad is misbehaving. In Jesus' name, I command that thing to go. We used to do deliverance. There was a brother named Jim Crofton and I would often go. We were the Ghostbusters in that area for all over, for Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and that they would call us when there were big manifestations of demonic attacks. I mean, I could tell you things that'll freak you out. Furniture moving, being thrown, all of that kind of stuff. So we would go cleanse houses. But there was a partner sometimes who would pray with us. And he would move by his discerning of spirits. He would just get pictures. So he would, Brother Mahesh, do you see this thing? There's a monkey-looking thing. And I'd say, well, cast that monkey-looking thing out. And he had anointing. I mean, God would hear his prayers. I see this lizard. Come out of him, lizard. And I said, you need to kind of develop this a little more. You just don't want to be casting out lizards now. Let the Lord give you some discernment on it. So one time, he saw and he said, I see you there, I jalapeno pepper thing. Come out of it. I said, don't you direct that prayer around me. I love my jalapeno peppers. But during the Yom Kippur War, 1973, I there it is, I got it. That it was one of the major manifestation, as the whole nation was fasting. 1973, Israel is fasting. So its army is fasting. Air Force is fasting. They're all on a fast, Day of Atonement. And that's where the whole Egyptian army, Syrian army, with literally combined, I mean, a couple of thousands of planes, all of that, coming towards Israel. And they had given leave to all of their soldiers and airmen and everything. And one of the heroes, you can read about it, I won't take time. His name was Zvika Gringo. And he was just 21 years old. And he saw a whole bunch of airplanes flying over him. And he said, something is happening. He was fasting that day, the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. And he hitchhiked to his base from his kibbutz in Western Galilee, where we were just a few days ago. And his base, he just hitchhiked 78 miles to his base. There was almost no soldiers. There were just wounded. Several, I think maybe 100 soldiers had been wounded. That's it. And there were no one to serve. He went there. He was just 21 years old and started helping the wounded soldier. And he saw two old beat-up tanks. And there were no other tanks in the whole base. And there were hundreds of tanks coming from across the Syrian border one side and the Egyptian border. They already crossed the Suez Canal. And he found a couple of soldiers that are not wounded and turned on those two tanks and started going towards where those people were. Hundreds of tanks were coming across the Golan Heights. And some of us, who was with me this last few days? Yeah, there you are. We peeked over the Golan Heights, and it's right there. And there was, once they came across, there was no way to run. You couldn't retreat, except you want to retreat into the ocean. And these two tanks, he took off towards the border. And his commander said, what do you have over there? They didn't have anything. They're just these two broken down tanks. He pretended that he just didn't give them details. And he went across the border. Well, to summarize, hundreds of Syrian tanks eventually surrendered. And later, the Mossad interviewed the commander of this hundreds of, they had nothing except these two broken down tanks. And they said, why did you stop? He said, we saw hundreds of angels standing on the border and telling, they quoted him, and he said, I heard, when asked why he didn't take out those last tanks, he told the Mossad interrogator, I would like to see you try and cross the Syrian missile lines while a whole host of white angels standing right on the lines and a white hand from heaven telling you to stop right there and move no further. So, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Jesus is our Yom Kippur. And by his stripes, you are healed. So we want to appropriate every benefit of the cross. Today, just raise your hands right now. For you, for our children, wherever they are, that Jesus died for them. That he is, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the whole world. Thank you, Lord. We release fresh angelic host on Yom Kippur, Lord, in this season. May healing angels be released. May delivering angels be released. May new provision in your abundance and abundant supply glory be released, Lord God. Thank you, Father. We appropriate. Say, by faith. See, and that's the most one of the most important aspects of Yom Kippur. You want to refresh yourself in your faith. Say, I believe. Say, I believe. Every promise in the Word of God. By His stripes, the stripes He took on Calvary, I am healed. My neighbor is healed. Thank you, Lord. Me and my children are debt-free. They have promotion. They have favor from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I receive all the blessings of the risen Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.